It's a long reading. I'll not ask you to stand. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he set him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Our Father, bless, I pray, your word as I know you will. And now help your servant to preach. Without you, I can do nothing. I depend on you. And if any preaching gets done, it'll be because you're here, Spirit of God. Thank you again for this great church and for Brother Rich and Sister Carrie and their boys, and what a blessing they are to this congregation, and what a blessing they are to your kingdom. And now tonight, meet with us, and let somebody's heart be strangely warmed and touched because they've heard your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. I know when I read this that some might turn me off. After all, we know this story so very, very well because it's a great illustration. And by the way, this story teaches eternal security. There's never a time when that fellow was not his father's son. He might have been a lot of other things, but he was always his father's son. Maybe I'll show you something you might not have seen in this story. How often I hear, I don't feel like a Christian. What's wrong with me? I know I'm saved, but I just don't feel close to God. If I'm saved and the Spirit of God dwells in me, why do I feel alone? I'm trying so hard, why can't I succeed? Why do I have problems? Why can't I deal with my own heart? Or what's wrong with the relationship with my family? Why can't we be a Christian family? Why can't we be a strong Christian family? Pastor, tell me. Now, I profess I do not know every case. All may be a little different, but it's my sincere opinion. The problem is we're just too far from our Father's house. We're just too far from our Father's house. The prodigal son was being a son. Now, being a son's important. Being God's child is life's most important thing. He was a son when he sat at his father's table. His father's son. Sat at the table. He's welcome there. I never had one of my kids say, Dad, can I eat tonight? Can I eat breakfast? Can I have what's in the refrigerator? They come through the front door and they say, hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Head straight to the refrigerator. Every time. And they know whatever's in there, they're welcome to it. Because you see, it's their father's house. And so they're welcome. He was a son when he enjoyed his father's kind fellowship. There's just something about fellowshipping with God that warms our heart and excites our life when we honestly fellowship with him. And there's something wrong when that fellowship goes wrong. And God never makes it go wrong. God never changes His position. He's always right there all the time. If anybody is wandered away, it's not Him, it's us. If I'm not where I used to be, God hadn't moved. I must have somehow. He was a son when he enjoyed the blessings of his father's provision. Now, why doesn't this make us happy? Why can't we be happy with the joy of serving the Lord and the peace and the happiness that come from God? Why can't we be happy with that? Satan paints a picture of sin on our heart. And our flesh yields to it and wants to go that direction. Now, we want to sin without any consequences. It's impossible, of course. But we think we can. Satan makes sin so inviting. He paints a great picture of the far country. And a great picture of the friends we're going to find down there in that far country. Ah, but we haven't left home yet. You see, we're all right. We're attending church. We still pray. Of course, we're not too involved. We're here. But in reality, our spirit has already traveled far away. You see, before sin actually happens in your life, you've entertained it in your mind and in your heart. We talk about falling into sin, but we put ourselves in a position to fall into it. We live near the edge all the time, living near the edge. And sometimes wandering over a little, but not getting too far out there. Not getting contaminated too much. We have an idea that happiness is in the world. Happiness is not with God. Happiness with people. Happiness is parties and spending money out in the world. He asked for his inheritance. Why is it sometimes young people get to thinking that their parents owes them an inheritance? Don't spend too much of my inheritance. Well, my kids don't have any. No, they don't have to worry about it. But you know, you ought to think about what's the greatest thing you can leave your children. Something touched my heart when Michael Reagan stood up and said the greatest thing his father ever left him was the knowledge of Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Huh? The greatest thing you can give your kids is your faith. You not only can win them to Christ, but you can train them and let them follow after you. Well, heaven wouldn't be the same if your kids don't get there, would it? Wouldn't be the same if your mom and dad didn't get there. It's important. He asked for an inheritance. He was tired of home. He was tired of his father's blessing. Tired of being good. But he was still his father's son. That never changed. Still my father's son. But I want what's coming to me. Give me my share of the inheritance right now. My father would have to figure it out because 2/3 of it went to the older son. And he'd only get 1/3. I don't know how much that was, but it must have been considerable. And he wanted it. But long before that day, his heart had entertained the joy of spending all that money of parties and of worldly friends. It is a sad thing when a Christian confesses to me, all my friends are out in the world. I don't have any friends among Christian people. What's wrong with them or what's wrong with you? It's probably not them. It's probably you. But all my friends are in the world. Your friends can be your undoing. You say, I'm old and set in my way and nobody can change me. Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. Watch out for worldly friends. They'll give you worldly advice. And worldly advice is not very spiritual. Psalm 1 tells us to watch out for it. long before you become cold in your actions, you become cold in your heart. And he's cold in his heart, but he was still his father's son. What's happening? Because when we get to that far country, it's different. When he asked for money, he felt like a son. When he felt like, when he left home, he still felt like a son. When he was living in luxury, he felt like a son, a rich son, but he didn't think too much about it. People seldom do when things are going well. We don't feel like a son much, but we're not worried about it because everything's going okay. Nothing's happening bad, and I got in trouble. I sinned. God did not zap me with lightning. I done wrong, but I can't see any bad effect, real effect that has on my life. The wages of sin is slow catching up with us, but it always does. It always does. Well, things are going well. And then it happens, as it always does, the money ran out. He may have went and tried to get a loan, but he has no security. He has nothing to offer for security. You know, before you can get a loan, you have to prove you don't need it. And you can prove you don't need it, you get one. But then if I could prove I didn't need it, I wouldn't need the loan. That's the way it goes. Now he was destitute. His money was gone. His friends were gone. He didn't feel like a son now, alone in a foreign country. He may have thought, you know, these are my new friends. We party together. We've done all these things together. I can count on them. The one thing you better never count on is your worldly friends. You say they weren't a friend with you to start with. They were a friend of your money. And where your money was gone, so was their friendship. Why won't somebody listen? You're too far from a man who would listen at you. You put the distance between he and you. While we're having trouble in our marriage, we're both saved. I've done a lot of marriage counseling. Some successful, some not. I can't put a marriage back together. And God can't put it back together when one or both of you are so stubborn and so far from God, they can't put it back together. I've seen it over and over again. Somebody would say to me, Pastor, why don't I have joy and peace and happiness like I used to have? I can remember when I used to sit down to boys at the table and the food was on the table. Mom, Dad was there. There was always enough to eat. I remember our fellowship around us. Why can't I have that now? Because you're too far from your father's house. I don't understand why Dad don't just get some things together and send it to me. There's something in the Bible where it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Well, God won't never shut us off from prayer. Are you sure? When we get out there, we're not close to him. We're not trying to be close to him. We're not confessing our sins. We're not asking for forgiveness. We just want him to hear us and answer us and give us something. Why, a basket of groceries from home would have been nice. That stuff the pigs eating is getting to look pretty good to me. I'm hungry. You think your father wanted him to be hungry? No. There was plenty back here where he come from. His father didn't want him in that condition. That wasn't his father's will. That was His will. We expect to run on in our stubborn will and God just make His will conform to ours. He won't do it. He will not do it. Sometimes we get ourselves in misery and we blame God for it. Father, why did you do this to me? Maybe it's time for a personal examination. Maybe there's something in here that ought not to be. Maybe I'm too far out there. Or maybe there's a danger of me wandering out there to that far country. He didn't feel much like a son when he was in hog pen. Feeding hogs. Didn't feel much like a son. He didn't feel much like a son when he was hungry, but he still was. And there's always a resource open to us if we'll take it. You know why we don't? A little five-letter word, P-R-I-D-E. I can't go back and say I'm wrong. I can't go back and say I sinned. I can't go back and say I made a mistake. I can't do that. When things get tough enough, you can and you will. When it gets tough enough. When he came to himself, I like that. When he came to him. I've been in this fog. I've been in this fog. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought everything would be just fine. Did you know he wouldn't have had to go very far to get into a far country where they had pigs? There was 10 Greek cities in Israel. 9 of them was east of the Jordan River. 1 of them was Sicopolis, which was on the west of Jordan River. And they had all kinds of pigs. Because Greeks eat pigs. Jews don't. Greeks do. So it wouldn't have went too far. But here I am, sitting in a pig pen. You know, we see some people that know God in strange places. My son and I were calling in an apartment building in Pontiac. Motorcycle gang had moved in. We were calling, going down the hall, sitting, parked motorcycles and sitting inside the building. We opened, knocked on a door, and a lady opened the door and went and sat on the bed. The only thing in that room was a bed, and the stove and the sink and a bathroom. That's it. I didn't go in. We stood in the doorway and talked with her. And I asked her who she was and so forth. She was a preacher's daughter. A preacher's daughter. She was in that filthy mess, and she looked like it. She said, I run off 2 or 3 times from this fellow. He always comes and finds me and brings me back. You talk about somebody away from their father's house. Here it was. I said, you need to go home, your dad and mom. If they're any kind of Christian at all, they'll take you back. If they're any kind of Christian, they'll take you back. They'll help you. I don't know whether we convinced her or not. I hope we did. But I doubt we did. But it's a terrible thing when you're in a place you oughtn't to be, and you get to blaming God for putting you there. God has never done me wrong, and He's never done you wrong. God cannot do anything but good. Well, He said, I'll arise and go to my Father. He was going to shorten the distance between Him and His Father. Boy, every time you shorten the distance between you and God, you've done something wonderful. I mean, you ought to be as close to Him as you can possibly be. Why don't you do that? I will arise and go to my Father, and I'll say, prosperity destroys more than poverty. My wife and I were just talking, coming up here. They were witnessing to a man in a new subdivision, heard another lady. And the fellow said, I don't need God. He said, I have this house. I have a very good job. And we have three cars. We don't need God. And so the other lady tried again to talk to him. Said, well, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, I don't need him. A house, three cars, a good job. You don't need Jesus. His barns were full. His harvest was ripe. He said, this one thing I'll do. I'm going to tear down those barns and build bigger ones. God said, thou fool. Oh, by the way, it just could be that you're going to need Jesus, because if you live long enough, you're going to die. And it could come sooner than you think. And then I want to ask you, who do you need now? I asked Alberta which one of the cars he's going to take with him. How much money can you take with you? I've had people that had a lot of money. They wouldn't give a dime for the work of the Lord. But when they died, they never took a dime with them. No pockets in a shroud that will carry anything. He was a millionaire several times over. I could say to him, Bob, the church needs a new piano. Bob, the church needs more. He'd just go buy it. But he who was making lots of money never did tithe to the church. But he didn't take it with him either when he went. It doesn't matter whose son you are, but when the funds dwindle, you begin to feel the loss of sonship. A very sweet lady in our church, she's in heaven now. And the deacon went to call on her. She was on oxygen, and she turns the oxygen off to light a cigarette and smoke it. That don't sound like a good thing. But she said, I just don't understand why I can't feel like I used to feel. I said, how long has it been since God laid it on your heart? Because, oh, she said, I know I should give them up, but I just can't. Listen, you can give them up if that's what God wants. God will help you. Pastor, why am I in trouble? Because we get too far away from the Father's house. Well, that's no problem now. We can get back. We'll just hit on our cell phone and we'll call him up and get right back. This boy knew his father was a compassionate man. He had servants that were well took care of. But the son had so messed up his life, he didn't feel like that his dad would take him back as a son. And so he made up this little prayer. Father, I sin in heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be a son. It just made me a servant. He came back home. He had that memorized, boy. I mean, he had it down in his prayer book. And so, when he got near home and his father ran out to meet him, he started his prayer. It's not what you say God's listening for. It's what you are believing in your heart. I believe a lot of people get saved when they hear a good sermon or have a witness. The moment they say yes in their heart to Jesus Christ, I believe the Spirit does work in your life. He didn't say much today. He come in the temple. He was not like the Pharisee up here. Thought a lot of himself. He couldn't even lift his eyes up, and he smote himself on the breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's not a very long prayer. That didn't express everything. That didn't say everything we sometimes want people to say just when there. But Jesus said he went down to his house justified. That means his sins were gone and he was made right in the sight of God. We never seem to look at our heart and say, why did I get myself in this mess? What was I thinking? Why did I let my heart grow cold? If I'm a son, why am I hungry? Why doesn't the Father send help? Why am I lonely? Why am I still here in this pig pen? Why can't I get an answer to prayer? Maybe you're just too far from the Father's help. Maybe before we pray asking for something, we might try doing what 1 John 1:9 says do. Father, I've sinned in your sight. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me teach you one little thing, and I know you know it, but I'll teach you anyway. Years and years ago, as a young man, I'd pray that prayer, Father, I know I've sinned, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I didn't feel forgiven. So I'd pray it again. Didn't feel forgiven. Sometimes I'd pray it several times, didn't feel forgiven. You don't have to feel forgiven. You have to take that verse for what it says by faith. When you say it, then it is true, whether you feel it or not. What happened when he came home? I raised a family and a bunch of grandkids, and now we're working on great-grandkids. When my kids were out of waiting home, I never went to bed. I'd be up when you come home. Why? Because I never did know when you might get out there and get in trouble. The world's not a safe place anymore, you know. I was concerned about them. I'm still concerned about them. Hardest thing for your kids to understand is, Dad, I'm 40 years old. I'm old enough to take care of myself. I know you are. But I better help you just to make sure. I said, you're not going to understand how I feel till you have kids that's grown of your own. And now you feel just like me. You're going to be concerned about them. Do they have all they need? Is everything all right? Boy, this boy had misjudged his dad. I'll just ask for servant's position. And his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He'd barefooted. His clothes was ragged. Whatever signet ring he had long been pawned somewhere. There's nothing there to show he was his son, but he knew him. He'd been watching for him. God's been looking down the road a long time for you. From the rooftop. If one of his children is away from him, God's looking for him. It's not only Jesus goes out and looks for the sheep. He looks for the lost ones too. God's expecting you to come back home and renew your relationship with him. Said to a servant, bring a robe. I'm not going to let the world see my son looking like he looks. They're going to be a robe provided for you when you get to heaven. Why? You know what Jude says? He's going to present us to the Father without spot or without blemish. Hold it. Since you've been saved, have you ever done anything you oughtn't to do? Of course you have. We get forgiveness, but there's a little blemish there. We have a scar. Nobody's going to see it. You know why? He's going to provide His own robe of righteousness to clothe us with. So anything that's there won't be seen. And He'll put shoes on her feet and a ring on her finger. This is my son. You ought to be thrilled to death that God would look at you and say, that's my son. That's my daughter. Yeah, He mentions daughters too, you know. That's my daughter. That's my son. That's my daughter. It's wonderful when in pride you can point to your children and say, that's my child. That's my son, my daughter. Isn't it? God from heaven says, look, that's my son. That's my daughter. Why do we live in misery when we can have the blessing of God on our life? Let me tell you something. I have been young and now I'm old. I'm more conscious and aware of sin now than I was when I was a youngster. And I'll tell you, the closer you get to heaven, the more you'll be aware, oh God, how could you love me? As imperfect as I am, how could you care about me? Many mistakes that I've made in life, how could you care about me? I said, I love you. And I have forgiven you and I've washed you in the blood. You're white as snow. You're justified. The record's been removed against you. And you're mine. You're mine. Our Heavenly Father.